adopted as the anthem of the African National Congress in 1925, this has become the anthem of people of African descent throughout.
Greetings and blessings. Ekabo, welcome to Natural Living with Goddess Yvette. Goddess, you there?
Yes, I am. Peace and greetings.
Ashe. Well, I just want to say thank you and thank everybody for my birthday wishes on Facebook. I was feeling good all day. It was revving me up. So I give thanks to my parents for having me, and I give thanks to the Facebook friends and family because you guys, that is so awesome just to be greeted with blessings. So thank you, Goddess Yvette, and thank everybody that posted blessings and happy birthday wishes on my Facebook. So let me just start with a prayer, giving thanks to the ancestors, to the energies and divine energies and forces on the planet that are for the good of people and for building people up. We give thanks to you. We honor you and continue to ask for our substance and for peace, prosperity, abundance, good health, long life, and just beautiful people that we can continue to build with. Let us be able to build a good people's network that would take over the negativity that is currently happening and for the good people to rise up and become one. Ashe.
Okay.
So, Ashe, I'm just like so happy today. You should be happy today too, because you was with one of my mentors. So tell us all about it.
Well, I just walked in the door all of 5 minutes ago. And of course, it went over. She's gonna be in Detroit for an entire year.
Wow! And everybody the eminent and illustrious Queen Afua.
Yes. Yes, I didn't get to talk to her a long time. I just got to speak with her briefly because there were so many people waiting to talk to her. So I have time. So therefore there was no, urgency because she's going to be here.
Oh,
and, I see. A brother friend of mine is the one who brought her here. He has Jesse Brown has the Detroit Holistic Institute. The Holistic Center, where he does, colon irrigation and weight loss classes and various other health and healing. He has iridology and herbology and all these things over there at his institute. And he has like a 20-year relationship with Queen of Fools. So he brings her here often. And she said Spirit told her she was doing something at her house. She was cleaning. So she was cleaning, getting rid of how you have to periodically go through your house and just get rid of the old so the new can come in. And she was doing that, and a vision came to her and said that she was going to work with Jesse Brown. And as she thought that, he called her. And he happened to be in Brooklyn. And they collaborated. He stayed at her house. He stayed with her for 2 days. They collaborated, and they came up. And then the son I spoke with you earlier about her son, Supernova Song, who has his book, The Remedy, he told her that he had a vision that she needed, he had a message came to him that she needed to work in Detroit. So she's going to be here for 4 seasons.
I say, and Detroit is very blessed. That
most
is
definitely.
Woman. Her energy is so beautiful.
Yes, yes. She's a powerful force.
Yes.
So this is going to be a good thing. And ironically, Jesse's been trying to get with me to do some stuff with him, and my schedule and his schedule haven't matched. And even for me to go today, I had to not do something that's on my regular, Tuesday agenda.
Right.
So we're going to have to figure it out. But she's offering this she's offering a 12-week course for $99. So she's going to be doing orientation with people for the next, I think she said, 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks are free for you to orientation and, you know, get to know what everything entails. And from there, you know, on out, you're doing the work.
I said, well, I know you're going to be up and running and doing the things you need to do, and she's going to be doing it. And that is such a magnificent experience. She is an experience. So I urge everyone in Detroit, get up, get out, and get to it.
Well, definitely.
Wow. How?
You know, she just reaffirms the stuff that I do and that Jesse does and Jesse's sister. Jesse's sister is the one who got me started on the whole holistic path. So, you know, it solidifies it and reaffirms it because basically better healing just comes with taking that time, and we're such a microwave society that we just are so used to grabbing something quick and throwing it in the radiation machine and going on with our day and, you know, and not noticing and not seeing the degeneration of our bodies and our minds because of this lack of nutrition.
That's true.
So, you know.
Well, I'm going to still encourage you to ask us to join us on a show one day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be fabulous, fantastic. She is just such a phenomenal teacher.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I loved it. So, Ashe. Well, tonight is my birthday, and I'm definitely wanting to speak about protecting our own. And, you know, I have on my Facebook, I know you didn't read it, but I sent it to you directly about the police brutality case that occurred in Ohio to Iafalola, who is one of the premier people in the Orisha community. She has the magazine Oya and Soro, Oya Speaks. And it is just a beautiful experience also to read about other people's journey with Orisha and learning different things. And it was heartbreaking to me to see what happened to her son, you know, and the key is that he was walking down a street in Canton, Ohio, heard gunshots, he began running, he saw police cars pulling up, but he continued to run away from the shots, as he should, because nobody wants to die. And she said the number one thing an African male is not supposed to do when he sees the police. You're never supposed to run. You're supposed to get shot by the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next thing he was aware of was a dog running towards him. He attempted to jump a fence to get away from it, and the dog grabbed him. Police ran up on him, held him down, punched and kicked him while he put him in handcuffs. And when he was in the back of the squad car, one of the policemen saw his phone sticking out of his pocket, pulled him out the car, grabbed the phone, asking him if he was trying to take their pictures, and began punching on him again. They took him to the hospital to be treated for the dog bite and then took him to jail, where they later released him on his own recognizance after they done beat him up, mind you. And the charges they have against him was obstructing official business and resisting arrest. Now, that's boo-boo right there. But she goes on further to say an attorney was hired and paid in excess of $500. He withdrew from the case when a payment was missed by one day. A public defender was requested, who is insisting that her son take a plea, you know, a deal of community service for 40 hours and 1 year probation, which is to be expunged from his record, provided he does not get into any more trouble. Now, they have hired another attorney, a subsequent attorney, who has a track record with police brutality cases, and it will cost an upfront fee of $1,000 with up to $500 more, depending on the necessities to prove Omoyele's innocence to the two charges against him. And then they're going to file a civil suit. That's what we need. So she's turning to LA members and friends to ask, is there anything to do to contribute to this cause? Now, you know, this sister is beautiful because this cause is for everybody. And we have a guest on the phone, and her son is going through also. Well, I'll let her explain it. Sandra, you there? I don't do this.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So you was listening. You see what her son is going through.
Yeah.
And I know in New York City, you know, Willie is, you know, and not just Willie, but all them kids is at risk.
Yeah, you know what I didn't like, though, when you, what you were saying? Not that I didn't like that you were saying, but the slickness of the police. Because, first of all of these charges that are against him are basically false. But then you have to turn around and prove that what the police are saying are not true. So it's almost like the police can say whatever they want, but then you're faced with the dilemma of proving that this is not true. But when the judge is telling him that you do the 40 hours of community service, and then, you know, if you stay out of trouble for a year, the case is dismissed, but it's not really dismissed. You know, it's only dismissed, like, in the private sector. But if this guy ever wanted to become a teacher or have any type of city job or even go to law school, that record appears. Like, they have access to those records, and then he has to explain himself. And then it'll be up to the discretion of the employer as far as whether they want to hire him or not. And at the end of the day, all he did was run.
To save his own life.
Exactly. But he never did anything illegal.
Exactly. So they got trumped up charges because obstruction of justice is bullshit.
Yeah.
Official business is bullshit straight out the gate. And then the other mess, you know, resisting arrest. Excuse me, you're going to see a dog attack me, and I'm the one that's supposed to stand still and
I
let
agree.
The dog bite.
I agree. And
that on itself sounds crazy.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. And, you know, I'm really committed to this. I stand with this sister because Anytime, this could be anybody's child. That could be Willie, that could be Rayburn, my grandsons, you know, it could be, you know, granddaughters, you know, it could be anybody. It could be anybody. It could be ourselves, because women being women, if we was running, they'd beat the hell out of us, too.
I agree.
And I know you haven't seen the pictures, Miss Goddess, Sandra, but you see this beautiful young man in his graduation hat, and you say to yourself, damn, how great his life is going to be. And then the next thing you know, he got to defend himself against having a record.
Mm-mm-mm.
And, you know, it makes me even sadder that a lot of people are oblivious to it.
Yeah.
God, as Yvette, your son has gone through stuff like that.
I've lived it for the last 10 years. And he's going through it now. I mean, he had they talked him into taking a plea for something that they said they said he had drugs. They came into the house. They came into a house he was in, took him and his friend out of the house, then said the house was abandoned, and they said they were charging him with being an abandoned property. But there's a friend of theirs that lived. There's a certain part of Detroit that's kind of dilapidated, and the police just come in your house at will. There's several dirty cops that hang out around down there. And they took him to jail, said they were charging him with being an abandoned property. 2 days later, they decided they were charging them with having heroin and cocaine on their person, and they didn't. So Justin had to pay the lawyer. He had to pay. Well, he paid for the lawyer. He did all that. They went. They talked him into taking a plea because they would have given him I forget how many years. It was several years they were trying to give him. They talked him into taking a plea, so now he's on probation. Now, who the probation officer, because I live in a different county, I don't live in the city of Detroit, so he uses my address, so now his probation officer is in this different county. They're saying that he still has warrants. And I have all the paperwork saying that he doesn't have warrants.
Yeah,
so
New York is famous for that also with the whole non-existent warrant.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but the whole guilty till proven innocent doesn't exist for Black people. You're it's the other way around. You're guilty till proven innocent.
Right. Right.
You know, because back as a teenager when he started getting into trouble, and one of the cops came to my house and actually had the nerve to ask me, "Do you know who his father is?"
Wow.
It's a miracle they didn't take me that night, because I kind of went up his front and down his back for asking me that question. But, you know, it's that kind of behavior. They do it all the time. At any given time, driving down the streets around here, you can see Black men on the ground with guns to their heads. For one time, they did that to them because the boy driving the car didn't have a license on him.
Hmm.
He didn't have a license, so they made them all get out of the car and hold guns to their heads.
It's very excess. And the thing is, when at least that's some of the problem that's going here in New York, when they talk about how, you know, the cops use excessive force, the first mm-hmm. thing the cops want to bring about is, you know, the shootings that occur. You know what I mean? So we have to behave this way for our own safety. But really, I feel that it's the citizen that's whose safety is endangered more than
definitely.
Is the police.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And where is it that you have to be, you know, you have to be protected from the people that's supposed to protect and serve.
Exactly.
They're supposed to be protected and serving, but we got to be on God, and we got to be up in their face to know that they protected and serving us.
I agree.
You know, it really is a very, very sad occurrence. And what people are not seeing is that, you know, this is a stone's throw from slavery. Because imagine if they put him in this trick bag and he happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, another record. And then something else happens. After a while, it begins a snowball effect, and then he's got to take pleas. And he's going to, his life is upside down for what?
I agree.
This is the victimization of the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And them trying to act like, you know, it's all gravy, that people are supposed to be whipped. When you arrest somebody, they shouldn't get any type of physical harm, not so ever, because that's not your job. That's not protecting and serving. That's beating people who are relatively unarmed and who are young people. That's a young man. And, you know, it hurts me when I hear stuff like that, because we have to have something done so that we have equal rights to everybody else. Now, you know, in a rich neighborhood, they are not going to do it to a rich person. But a black person who may even be rich, they still will have that same behavior done if they're an unknown person.
Right.
Because it's about the color of his skin, that it's all right to harm people of color and poor white people, because poor white people get it too.
True.
And if nobody don't speak up for them, they in trouble, and they have a record and everything else, and they're forced to go through all kinds of legal entanglements. And, you know, our children shouldn't have to face this future.
I agree wholeheartedly.
We need to figure out how in the heck we're going to turn this around, because everybody that is living in America is at risk, that is a person of color. If they have a young African or person of color, whatever, child that has color, they are at risk, because they do not care when it comes to us. But, you know, I also want to say that I want to thank people who are on the Facebook who actually, I told everybody, please don't send me a gift, or, you know, as a gift to me, send money to this campaign, because unless we stop it, it's really, we're on our way back to slavery. And it's not going to be a good slavery. But this time it's going to be, again, a certain segment of the population that may be free. But if we are not all free, if all our children can't be educated to participate in society, we got problems. So you have, both of y'all have young sons.
Yeah.
What
is?
Hmm?
I said yes, and it's a challenge. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it is a challenge because the society we live in is giving them a different message, you know, and the truth is that it's hard for our young people to access money, to create businesses and do things that would make them enterprising. They more so get other things inundated in the community, which is poverty. You know, that hip hop is, you know, has come to a point where the ones that they elevate and highlight is always about destruction or chaos, creating some kind of harm, calling people names, you know. And all that's tied together. I know people think that it's isolated, but this is all tied together. What you let enter into your child's world as a young person, if they don't understand that whatever it is for them to take it to the next level, to become better, then they've been victimized. because I know in New York, most of the guys are scared to be somebody because they can't even go on the subway without being harassed. And, you know, that's harassment on both sides, from the community of the bullies, and then you got the police being the bullies. How do the children survive?
Yeah, that's the question. Because you can't run to the police for protection. You can't do anything for the with the police.
I agree with that.
You know, and that's been, well, around here, that's been that way for years. Because I know I used to get harassed by the local police when I was a teenager. Where they escorted me out of town, which is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. They made sure I left the city limits.
Well, at least they
have to laugh about that. Hmm?
Well, you know, it's funny because as a female, you know, the fact is that you escaped the bullet. Because if you was a male, they might have whooped you and threw some fake charges on you, and you'd had to try to, you know, create some, you know, way of making a living, because once you get a record and stuff, your opportunities, like Ms. Sandra said, your opportunities is off.
Yeah, that's true. But see, well, I grew up in a small town, so the difference is that town knew my family. That's all that was. They knew my father. That was, and so they can harass me only so much. So they didn't know what he would do. They knew my father and my uncle.
Oh,
I mean,
the town
I grew up in is only 2.5 square miles, and it's like I said, it's a Polish town. So black people it's still a little prejudiced town, even still to this day. But that was the only difference. My father had a reputation, as did my uncles in that city. You know, my father was a landlord in the city, so that was the difference. So
even getting closer to one of the problems, because as long as you have money, you can fight the system. So this is why we're saying we have to band together, because individually we don't have the money to make these things happen.
See, that's what I'm saying. I got harassed in my own way. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, whereas my friends were treated a whole lot differently because they didn't have that.
Exactly. There we go. Exactly, exactly, exactly. We've got to have that cushion where we have a legal defense fund against police brutality. So I hope that they're able to raise more than enough money for this young man and enough money for other people, because all over the country, the police are losing their damn mind, as if they ever had it. I don't know.
I have to agree with you.
Because, you know, that could be anybody's son.
Very true.
Anybody's son.
And that's the sad part, because they do it, and I mean, they do it as they make it up as they go along, and that's the part that, you know, is the hard part around here specifically, because this is a very, Detroit, the whole Metro Detroit area is very much racially segregated.
Good night, darling. Thank you. I'll be up to eat later. Excuse me. They're making my favorite food in the world.
Which is?
Something bad.
Which is, she ain't going to tell me what that is, okay?
Oh, no, not even a little bit.
I'm not going to lie. I've never lectured you except for about the cigarette. That's all I've ever lectured you about.
That's true. My feeding frenzy is not as good as I'd like it to be, but it does get better.
Just for your birthday, you know, I mean, you know, it's all cool to let your hair down, you know, just don't do it every day.
Oh, please, they don't let me. Giving me a treat. They don't usually let me, so I'm excited.
Okay. We're going to let you enjoy your birthday meal. I ain't going to say nothing.
Thank you. But, you know, going back to the serious subject, it's so serious. People, if you only knew the type of freedoms that you're giving up by allowing just one person to be brutalized by police. This is legally sanctioned abuse. And we got to fight it. We got to make the Supreme Court, we got to fight it all the way to the Supreme Court, because we're supposed to have equality. And if every child is not being beat, then wash it out.
True. Sure.
And we have to recognize that the ancestors did not go through slavery and fight for freedom for us to give it back. We have to pool our money together. We've got no place that is a one base operation where we go and support things that benefit black people. Shameful, shameful, shameful. You know, I appreciate the people that went out there and donated, but there are some people that really got to get it on, really. Really got to stand up and be counted. What do you think, Ms. Sandra?
I'm sorry, Denise. You hear? Hello?
Yeah.
No, I was listening. You know, I was here taking out the garbage. That's why.
You know, you all are just too clean. You actually are a cleanly person. So I forgive you because I understand how obsessive compulsive you are.
Oh, no. Well, you know, today is tomorrow's garbage day, so I was just trying to get everything, the bottles and stuff together.
All right. Well, I said I forgive you because even if it wasn't garbage day, I've been there. So, you know, I know who you are. You definitely are one of those people that are super clean and are, you know, always on it for what you need to be on it for. But, Ms. Sandra, be honest, if you had the money to do some stuff, wouldn't you be able to work that situation where your son filed a police harassment thing?
Yes.
That would be enable him to fight for them not doing nothing about it. Because he filed something, didn't he?
He filed the, you know, just with the Civilian Complaint Review Board.
Right. The police. That's what you tell me.
Yeah, he filed the thing against the police, but you know what I was wondering, too, if a lot of these kids can just do some type of class action suit against the police. Because especially for things like, you know, especially for these so-called misdemeanors, because even if misdemeanors wind up getting dismissed in 6 months or dismissed in a year or whatever, like I said before, they're never really dismissed. You know, they're only dismissed, you know, in the private sector. You know, but
right,
there's certain jobs that are usually the more better paying jobs that you're ostracizing these kids from because now they have misdemeanors. The misdemeanors,
right,
like for example, if you wanted to be a teacher, let's say when he was, you know, when somebody was a kid, or even not even being a kid, like a cop can say to you, I don't know, like, you know, call you that dreaded N-word, and you might say to the cop, oh, who the hell do you think you're talking to? And the officer can give you a disorderly conduct. Now, why were you really being disorderly? No. So why you now have a disorderly conduct? You know, that's...
They pretty much do what they want and make it up as they go along.
Exactly. But you're stuck with that. You're basically now you're stuck with that. And regardless if the judge says, oh, well, stay out of trouble for 6 months and you're, you know, and the case will be dismissed, it's really not dismissed. If you ever want to be a teacher or even a lawyer or just any city job, you now have to explain why you received that disorderly conduct. Well, you never would have, should have gotten it in the first place, because it's not disorderly to tell the officer who the hell you think you're talking to. It's really not.
Really? I've said that to a couple officers. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, why shouldn't you be able to talk respectfully to the officer and, you know, be resistant and not have to go to jail for meth?
It's really become, I feel like when you said before, it's like we're reverting to slavery. What is, wait, hold on, I'm sorry. One moment.
Yeah, well, it is. It's exactly that. We are returning.
Yes, we are, because it's really become this, like, you know, yes or no sir kind of thing, and I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, once I was driving down Linden Boulevard with my mother, and we stopped at the light, and there was, like, 8 cops surrounding this kid. So it's true, I don't know what the kid did or anything, but I'm looking because I'm saying to myself, really, you need 8 officers for one person?
They can whoop behind.
So the cop saw me looking, and the cop told me to move on. And I said, I can look if I want to. You know, I was just so offended, though, that the cop said anything to me, because I'm just looking. Well, why are you telling me to move on? I can look if I want. You know, you're going to arrest me next? Give me a disorderly conduct? Because I said to you, you know, I can look? But then the light changed and we drove on, but that bothered me for the longest because I couldn't believe the cop said anything to me.
Right.
Why can't I look?
What did you say, Goddess?
No, I'm just saying right, because I can relate to that. When I was talking about my son's friend not having his license, and the cops making all the boys get out of the car and putting guns in their head, the reason why I know that is because it happened in the same small city that I grew up in, and his stepmother happened to be coming up the street and saw it, and she's asking them, why do you have that's my son, why do you have him on the ground? They put the gun on her. One of the cops pointed the gun at her and told her, keep it moving, you know, move on. Don't worry about what's going on here. She's like, that's my son. So he threatened to shoot her. The cop threatened to tell her, you better move. And then she called me at work. You know, and that was, and again, it was one of those situations where he hadn't done anything. Like I said, he was a passenger in the car. They locked all of them up.
Yeah.
Like, I was him up, then they tried to say that it was, they said something about, they tried to say that they pulled a knife on somebody at the high school. None of the boys were in high school, by the way. So they tried to say that. Then when I went up to the police department to find out what was going on, first they gave me a hard time. He was 17 at the time. First they gave me a hard time and told me they didn't have to tell me anything because he was 17, and that's considered an adult, that they don't have to tell me anything. The next day, well, a few hours later, I went back up there, and by then the shifts had changed. At least 4 of the cops up there were guys that I graduated high school with. My son was released the next day.
Right.
And it's just, I mean, it's like, why have to go through all of that? That's all insane.
Right.
But it just, like I said, they make it up as they go along.
But if
you know, his poor stepmother was traumatized by having a cop, you know, point guns at her on the street.
Yeah, if you had money, the cop would have lost his job. But pointing a gun at a woman that was unarmed, asking about her stepson.
But, you know, this is my problem. I don't know if he would have lost his job. You know, I don't look at how, who lost their job behind Sean Bell. Like, usually, even the only cop so far that's been convicted, you know, in New York City in recent history was the cop that sodomized Abner Louima. Because all the other big cases, the cops were not charged.
Right. But
now, they might have faced civil charges, you know, then you take them to civil court and sue them, but they got off on everything else.
No, but if you have money, you could pursue that. It's money talks, because you can force the political as well as the legislative process so you can end that kind of stuff. That's why money is needed. Because when you start challenging these things, and clearly there's going to be a civil case after this case, but when you start challenging people for their behavior, for making them stand and be accountable, all of them cops should be accountable, because if he was a non-threatening person, they have no reason to be hitting him. And then, again, money talks, BS walks. They ain't going to do it to Donald Trump's son.
I agree.
He could be drunk as Cootie Brown. You still cleaning up, aren't you, Miss Sandra?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Don't feel bad, Sandra. She harasses me for the same thing.
From using the water. But, even in the situation that you had, Goddess Yvette, with your son, if you had money, those police officers would have lost their job, because there would be no way you would stand for that. And that's what happens, that money also talks. And also, if you white,
I was about to say, I think the money has to be backed
money.
by the correct skin color.
Yeah,
or even the money and the class, because even those guys, they wind up getting a lot of money when they sued on the civil cases, but it still didn't change anything, because they started out, you know, in the wrong economic class.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the economics makes a difference, and this is the reason why we have to support it. Everybody, you'd be ashamed of yourself if you don't give even $1.
Yeah.
Because police brutality can happen to anybody. And believe me, if you get in that situation, you're going to want people to rally around you, and we need to start that as a foundation now, rallying around people that need it. It just is an outrageous situation, and, you know, I really don't see any other way but us supporting each other. All of us. All of us protecting our own. And our own is, we got to protect people of color, black people, African American people especially, the young males. We need an African American young male fund that everybody put money in, so that any case around America where African American young men or any color, any ethnicity, color, you know, person of color gets into a situation that is police brutality, which has to do with the legality of what is it? They call it something. What is it? The legality of restraining. They restrain you when they arrest you and detain you. So these are issues that we have to really challenge. But that's one side of the equation. We got to have a fund for that, but we also have to train up our children to respect themselves. They walking around here with their asses showing, and I don't care what you tell them about it. They all want to do it, cold as hell. They got their asses showing. I don't know if they be in Minnesota with their asses showing. I just want to say that.
We're in Detroit.
It is too cold for your butt to be out.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do it in Detroit.
They all going to wind up with arthritis of the booty by the time they're like 40.
A hard head makes a soft behind. So, you know, it is what it is, but I'm more talking about our grandchildren that are coming up that we definitely feel are princes and little kings. You know, we've got to do something to protect them, you know, and we need to do something to protect our adult children through praying, because prayers work. They will eventually open their ores, their heads, to the good sense that it takes in dealing with people. Because if you represent yourself to be a bum, you're going to be a bum.
I agree. No.
So, you know, we got two sides of the coin. We have to deal with our own, and we have to deal with them. We cannot allow injustice to stand at any time. So we have 10 minutes left of the show, so I just really want everybody listening, look on the page or Blog Talk. I'm going to post it on the show episode. We got to get the word out. So I'm asking everybody to post the, after you give, post it on friends' pages. Let's get this word around. Let's get a strong amount of family showing that we are not standing for police brutality under any circumstances. And use this as an opportunity to build a fund, a legal defense fund for African-American children. And it can't be little. She's asking for $1,500, but I tell you, we need $15 million. We need a lot of money. We need a lot of money because we need to do rituals. We need to get all the gamut from counseling to education to the worship routine, whether you're in church or you're in LA. You need to be putting in some good character programs and really shutting down that sexual abuse and all them other negativity things going on in church, so that when children grow up, they be like, I know what I did in church, you know. So they're not really interested in it.
Right.
Mm.
So even with the LA, the same thing, you know, people have to connect and be community. We have to care for one another, and we have to protect our own. So, Goddess Yvette.
Yes, ma'am.
I know that you do a private ritual to protect your son, and I did ask you if you would share it so everybody would do that ritual. And rather than just say your own child's name, maybe we could just say every child.
Yes, I talked to my ancestor. It's a prayer, I sit at my ancestor altar twice a day, once in the morning, again before I go to bed. Sometimes I'll even stop before I leave the house or go anywhere and ask him to please keep him safe or keep them safe, because I have him and the grandchildren. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's shame. And you know what? That is what I do, too. Oh, Ashe, protect my grand, protect my family, protect those people I love.
Mm-hmm.
And protect, and I, you know what? I do love everybody, all these kids, because I see who they are. They are wonderful, they are magnificent, they are gifted, they are talented, and they need proper guidance and direction, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We got to get the younger people, young adults in their 30s and 40s reaching back and really mentoring these young people to move forward and, you know, own their own dreams to manifest that. You know, remember a time with what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely got to be something, you know, that we can do. So I ask everybody, please go to, and I have the link is
have this on your page, because that was a whole lot to follow.
I have it on my page, but you got to look on it.
Oh, I see it. I see it. I just went to your page.
Mom, it's time to pop bottles and sing happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Isis. But I was on my show, and you know I hate that when you come and be loud on my show. I'm letting her get away with it because it's my birthday, and they want to celebrate. But...
get off your show and come on.
Excuse me, I have... 4 minutes, could you give me a break?
All right, you ain't gonna have nobody in 4 minutes.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. Celebrate your birthday.
I say, well, I know that my daughter works hard and she goes to bed and we don't see her for a hot minute. So, I say, I would like to celebrate with them.
Okay.
It's been a good day. It's been a beautiful day. I feel so wonderful. I feel empowered. You know, it's just great to know that people see who you really are. And this is who I am. So I love you too.
You are so sweet.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I was on mute or off of mute. I have to double check sometimes.
Oh, you on, Ms. Hodges, you on.
Okay.
And I, you know, I want to end with a prayer. May we really be able to establish a legal defense fund that has substantial dollars to fight this police abuse. And let us shut it down spiritually. Let us shut it down, you know, in every way that it comes at us.
Yes.
Ashe. So, okay, Goddess Yvette. Well, before Goddess Yvette, Miss Sandra, would you like to just say bye? I know you're not like a Facebook personality, so I'm not going to ask you to ask put your Facebook out there. Although you do the best genealogy. You are the bomb. You know, so I really appreciate it. So one day we're going to do a show on what you found out about my family. But
it's the benefits of Ancestry.com.
No, but you do it well, girl. Because I've been on there. I didn't see anything you saw. And then
I got back, I think, 3 generations, and it got on my nerves.
Because you know what? They start spelling the names wrong. Well, that's for a whole nother topic.
Yes, it is. But we're going to have a show. I promise you we're going to have a show on that. But I do love both of you. Thank you so much. Goddess Yvette, I know you want to close your show.
I want you to have a happy birthday and go enjoy your children and all the goodness that they have waiting for you. So with that, I'm just going to say peace and blessings, everyone.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Hello? Hello? Hello?